When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, fellow old dogs. I just wanted to mention our great sponsor for today's show, Equity and Help. Yeah, they've been on before, but we love them. One of the reasons why is that I remember living in Haiti. One of the things we did was to help people find housing. And I love the idea of helping people in the U.S. get into a home who might not normally be able to do so. And you see an 8 to 12 return on investment, which doesn't hurt too much either. Well, check them out at equityandhelp.com. That's equityandhelp.com.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how to quickly assess a small multifamily deal. But before we get started, you know, I know you guys are probably tired of me saying that, but you know, I feel like when I'm talking to you folks out there, even though it is a one-way conversation here, I still like to connect with you, and I'm sure that there are a lot of things I'd love to talk to you about if we were to sit down and have a cup of coffee together. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm doing. I'm sitting down here with a cup of coffee, and even though I don't have one in front of me right now, I do have a cup of water here. But I like to connect with you. I think it's important that we connect. I think, hey, if you're ever in my neck of the woods, I would love to meet you and literally sit down and have coffee together. I think there's a lot to be learned, a lot to be shared, and I think that's what real estate is all about. So, hey, I just hoping things are going well, and it's going to be kind of a shorter one today. I'm just going to be talking about a couple of quick issues here, but let's go into our tip of the week. And I think this is an important one. It's about finding a good mentor. And I know we've talked about this a fair amount on this show over the years, and I just think it's an important thing. It's not the easiest thing to do, to find a good mentor. And I will tell you that there are lots of folks that mentor, some professionally, some for money, some that will do it for free, but it doesn't always mean it's going to work out as great as you would hope it could. Yet I think I've had some good mentorship experiences, and I'd like to share those as I can. I think the key reasons you want to have a good mentor is, first off, it real estate investing is not a solo sport. It is really a team exercise. Whether there are two of you or four of you or 20 of you, it's important that you have a team. You have people that have strengths and weaknesses that can be brought to the deal. And that's really important. I tried for, you know, I think in the early stages, I tried to do this by myself, and it just became really, really difficult. And you do run into a lot of problems, and you do make a lot more mistakes than you would if you had somebody involved as a mentor. So one, it's not a solo sport. I think it's also can be very expensive, because you make mistakes that can cost you a lot, especially with real estate, where you're dealing with large purchases, and you need to be wise in those decisions. I also think that, good mentors can also become partners maybe eventually, or maybe even investors in your deals. I think that it's also just important to have that person you can bounce ideas off of, or just throw out an idea. Say, what do you think of this area here? I've kind of done an analysis of this market, but, what are your thoughts just off the top of your head, and just to get those kind of that feedback is important. I also think it's, it's important too that it'd be somebody that you do feel comfortable with. And I think that's an important aspect, that somebody you feel comfortable talking to, you don't feel like it's just a one-way conversation, that there can be that feedback. Where do you find a mentor? There are a lot of places, but I think some of the best places are to meet somebody in your town, if possible. Local meetups, the real estate meetups, maybe a multifamily meetup, or various types of groups that you would have people that have experience in real estate investing. I used to, and still do, periodically go on Bigger Pockets and connect with people in my local area just to kind of welcome them to real estate investing and, be available if there are things that they might want to ask me about. And I just, usually make a coffee appointment and we meet for coffee locally. And it's just a smart idea, especially to have people close by that you can connect with. Also, local RIA meetings, real estate investor type meetings. There are a lot of folks. Some of these guys have been in these meetings for 20 years, and so they've got a lot of experience and a lot to offer. So, those are just some of the places you can meet. There's also the paid mentors, and I'm not going to just like put them all down. All gurus, are not worth it. There are some that do amazing things. People can connect there. There's a great networking generally, depending on the group. But those are good places to do that. Approach with caution. I mean, it gets pretty expensive sometimes going through a paid mentor, but it can be at the same time a good experience. If you do connect with a mentor, especially if it's somebody on a local basis, you should be willing to be able to volunteer something to help them out too, because obviously the advantage for you is that you're going to be able to tap into their expertise and their experience. Maybe even their network, who knows? And I think that it's really important that you be able to offer them. So you may have a skill that might help them out. Maybe you know something about computers and you can help them in their office, or you can help create an app or a program for them, or maybe you're a good writer and maybe you can help them with some of their marketing materials or whatever it is. It shouldn't be just a one-way deal. It really should be something where you can offer something to them that is of value to them as well. Okay, well, let's jump into our topic, how to quickly assess a small multifamily deal. This is an important one for me that I really think it's important for any investor to be able to at least to practice analyzing deals. Now, there are some pretty elaborate spreadsheets that we use in, especially in multifamily, and we're talking about investors and a lot of other elements that go into that. But I'm going to look at really small multifamily deals. So I'm talking about maybe apartments, duplexes up through maybe 20, 30, 40 units, something like that. Trying to keep it a little bit more contained. I know there's a misconception out there that evaluating real estate deals is a time-consuming and arduous task. And to a certain degree, it can be, especially with larger multifamily or commercial properties. But for a small multifamily deal, you can look at a few key things to assess whether or not that deal is going to be worth pursuing further. And so I'm kind of zeroing in on three main areas. Analyzing apartment deals and making money on apartments is all about the numbers. More specifically, it's all about the revenue and expense numbers. With that in mind, you can easily assess a deal in just a matter of minutes. Now, apartment values are based on the numbers and the net operating income. The more net operating income you can generate, the more money you will have to put in your pocket every month. And we're talking there about cash flow. And again, when you refinance or cash them out, you'll have that value. The great thing about real estate investing, especially when compared to stocks and bonds and traded commodities, is that you have a large degree of control over the revenue and expenses of an apartment. That's how you change value of that property. You have the ability to estimate the value up front, but you can also predict the value of your property based on the value add things that you do to that building along the process. So it could be increasing rents, it could be adding amenities. There's all kinds of things you can do. Sometimes, you know, in a smaller apartments, it's not as dramatic, but if you have like a 200 unit, 400 unit building and you can increase the rent $50 or $100, you know, you multiply that by the number of units and you see a significant increase in not only income, but in value for that property. So here are the three key areas that just wanted to take a look at, one of which is cap rate, which I'm sure you've heard a lot about cap rate in the past. The other is price per door, and then the third is unit mix. Now, once you have the answers to, you know, these key questions, what is the cap rate? What is the price per door? And what is the unit mix? And unit mix, I'll explain in a second here, but I think you probably know what it is, but it's like how many studios, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom apartments there are and so forth. Once you can answer those questions, you'll know whether you should dig deeper or move onward. Before you do this, you need to become, I believe, familiar with the market, the specific market you're assessing, because there will be different sort of average cap rates, price per doors, and in those markets. Unit mix may vary from place to place as well, but we're talking about assessing a price or a rate or percentage when we're talking about the cap rate or price per door. The averages, you know, should also be based on the class of asset that you're looking at. So if you're looking at A properties, it's going to be very different than C properties. And so that's important that you know what those averages are when you go into that market. Financial freedom doesn't have to be a pipe dream. With investments in real estate, they may be hit or miss, all depending on how the market's looking for the coming years. Now, what if there was a method that included both stability and benefits to hardworking families in need without sacrificing your return? Equity and Help have cracked the code with a proven method that offers steady cash flow while making a difference. Equity and Help locates the properties, fixes the properties up, finds the perfect families to live there, all to ensure that you get the best return while families enjoy their happy new home. That is achieving financial freedom while making a difference. For more information, call your Philanthro Investor Consultant from Equity and Help at 844-552-8828 or visit equityandhelp.com/podcast to become a Philanthro Investor. That's EQITYANDHELP.com/podcast. So let's take a little bit closer. Like, what is cap rate? I know we've talked about that before, but this is an abbreviation for the term capitalization rate, and that is the return on investment on a percentage basis. It's saying if you paid all cash for that property. The formula for cap rate is your NOI, okay, your net operating income, divided by your purchase price. For example, if you have a property that has an NOI of $100,000 per year and you paid $1 million cash for the property, your cap rate is 10% because you are getting 10% annual return for your $1 million. The golden rule in evaluating deals is to determine your criteria in advance. You need to go into it knowing what you're looking for. If you're at a place where you're saying, hey, I don't want anything under, you know, 8 cap, then, you know, you need to stick to your criteria, especially as you start cross-analyzing and comparing properties. So, you know, for example, you may be looking for a property that is 7 or higher. But keep in mind, you know, you go too high in the cap rate, and there are some risks that go along with it. There's a reason why that cap rate is so high. It may be a much older building. It may need some major capital improvements. It may be in a bad area. There's a lot of reasons, but you know, high cap rate is desirable in terms of returns, but at the same time, you have to be aware that there's also risk associated with that. Again, you need to know the average cap rate for that market, though, and the asset for that particular asset and class type. Then we look at the price per door. Price per door equals the price divided by the number of doors or units of that particular multifamily property. Again, you need to know the average based on recent comps for the market and the asset type you're evaluating. As a general rule, you will try to go for less than the average cost per door. Then, that makes it a little bit more desirable. Let's say if the average cost per door is $50,000, then, you know, you want to come in, you see something at $30,000 or $40,000, you know, that's there's a good opportunity there. Is, again, these figures do not factor in rehabilitation costs that you have to also factor in as you start to look at that. But generally, you look at the average per door value, and you can compare that to other properties that have sold in that area. And then finally, what is the unit mix? And that's the percentage of units that are in that property for one bedroom, two bedroom, and three bedroom, maybe four bedroom. Okay, a property that has more two bedroom units than one bedrooms will have higher rent or higher revenue per door. So you have a little bit more flexibility there. It's generally better to have a property with more two or three bedrooms than one bedroom units, because the rent per apartment will be higher on average. Now, that's just, again, a real general statement. It can vary from area to area. So I've gone into some communities where there weren't a lot of studio apartments, and so the studios were running out for as much as the one bedrooms were, because they're more desirable for some people. So it just depends on the market. But generally, you know, you have a couple of bedrooms, and if they're at a good enough price, you're going to have no problem keeping that apartment booked up. Generally speaking, though, two bedrooms, I'd say, are probably easier to rent than one bedroom might be. Once you get the answers to these three questions, they will reveal a lot. And the cap rate tells you about the cash flow of a property. The price per door will tell you, you know, the class of the property you're dealing with, and the unit mix will tell you about marketability and revenue stream. These answers allow you to quickly assess whether a property is worth pursuing. If the numbers look good, you can then dig deeper, and then that's when you start asking for more detailed financials and rent rolls and other things along those that nature. Now, keep in mind, too, we do have on the Old Dogs website a free 3-minute property analyzer where you literally can assess a property in 3 minutes. Yeah, I know it's a real quick, down and dirty kind of spreadsheet. You fill out the form and it populates the spreadsheet. But it's a means that I use when I'm looking at multiple properties, a lot of properties, and I can, you know, fill out, you know, load in 50 properties and then compare them to each other and start assorting by specific, you know, categories. It feeds into an Excel spreadsheet. So if you want to look at, you know, cap rates, if you want to look at the return on investment, you can, you know, all these, we have, there's a lot more categories. And we do use some general rules of thumb just because we had to kind of streamline this down, but it's just a quick and down and dirty way to let sort of the best stuff rise to the top so that you can dig in a little bit deeper. It's at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com. And there should be a pop-up as soon as you go to the website that'll say, hey, do you want to download the free property analyzer? And then you can do that. If not, then you go into resources. And then in the resources section, we have a lot of stuff there, books we recommend and a lot of other things, but you can also get the analyzer there as well. Well, that is the show for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including links, can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. You're going to look for the episode entitled How to Quickly Assess a Small Multifamily Deal. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.